More than 17,000 people. It's been around since the 1800s, and it's a place where people who are on the skids live. On the skids is an old logging term I learned. It just means people who are down on their luck. For most of us, I think we think Skid Row is a place that's really far removed for us and that the people who live there are very different from us. We may have ideas of who they are and why they're there. We might think of things like addiction and mental illness, poverty. The people who live there seem hard to relate to, hard to understand. But they might be just like us. This week I learned about a woman named Larea Gaston, who's an art director and a designer, and she lives in Los Angeles. And growing up, Larea attended a church with her mother. And her mother always told her that the job of Christians is to do your part to help others. Do your part, Larea, her mother would say. Do your part. And that message stuck for her. And so for years she would head to Skid Row and treat the people she met there to lunch. For her, it was a way of giving back. For her, it was the way that she would do her part, just as her mother asked her to do. She didn't tell many people she did this. She just did it quietly as her act of love and service. And eventually, Larea, who worked on designer fashion shoots and film locations, began to think about the deep divide she noticed between the people she worked with, the clients she acquired, and the people who lived on Skid Row. She wondered what it might be like to bring those two worlds together. She also noticed that the type of food that people ate in wealthy LA was nothing like the food the people on Skid Row ate. The people in wealthy LA had organic, delicious, well-seasoned food. The people on Skid Row ate things out of cans, cold. Larea was a believer in organic whole foods and plant-based living, so she wondered what it would be like to take this delicious new food to Skid Row. So she just sent out an email one day to all of her model and actor and art director friends, and she invited them to host a pizza party on Skid Row. We're going to serve cold-pressed juice and vegan pizza, she declared. We're going to make it a party of love. We'll just eat together and share life. We'll have delicious food, all of us, together in one place. She didn't know how many people would show up, but her friends came out in droves, and they brought their pocketbooks with them. The people that were served on Skid Row were super happy, too, delighted by this new, very tasty food. They felt nourished, not just in body, but in spirit as well. And so afterwards, the people that were served together, everybody, said, "When's the next party?" And Larea wasn't prepared for such a question, but she said, "How about next month?" And so over time, Larea had these parties founded by her friends, but she eventually started an organization called Lunch on Me. And it serves 10,000 people now per month. The food that they serve is sometimes food that would have gone to waste, but it's always organic, plant-based, and really tasty. I learned about this story in a podcast episode I happened upon this week, and I had to stop it a few times just to take in what I was hearing. I think the most powerful thing I felt about this story was the way in which Larea talked about the people that she met on Skid Row, not as bums or drains on society, but as people with real stories and real challenges, real brokenness and heartache. These stories that aren't much different from the challenges and heartbreaks that we all face. Larea's story is a story about treating others with grace and kindness. She told the story about one of the women that she met on Skid Row that she meets with weekly about. This woman's in her mid-60s and spent her whole childhood in foster care. And she had nowhere to go when she aged out of foster care. She lived with her same foster family as a nanny to other children, but then when the foster mother died, she had nowhere to go and no education. I learned that only 3% of foster children in our country get college degrees. I didn't fact check that. I don't know if that's an accurate statistic, but if it is, it should send chills up our spine on this Mother's Day. The woman Larea met on Skid Row as an adult who was kicked out of foster care has been living on Skid Row ever since, working odd jobs and spending large amounts of time homeless, living in a tent. The most heartbreaking part of her story was that she says that she's still waiting for her birth family to come find her and bring her home. She still holds out hope. And Larea says there's a sense in which there's more hope and gratitude on Skid Row than there is in Beverly Hills. And I don't doubt that that could be true. The water that Jesus gives to the woman in our story is living water, he says. And what he means by this, I think, is that there's more to the water than just a thirst quencher. It brings healing to the soul. Tell me where I can get this living water, the woman in our story asks. And Jesus brings something up to this woman. He brings up the truth that she's had five husbands, and the man she's now with is not her husband. Why? Why has she had five husbands? We don't know. One interpretation is that she's a prostitute or somehow immoral to the extent that the men keep marrying her to legitimize her, but then they divorce her quickly. But another theory is that she's unable to bear children. And there's a certain kind of pain to that, like now, that's not talked about nearly enough. It's noteworthy as well on this Mother's Day. Maybe she's been overlooked time and time again, cast aside for reasons that aren't her fault at all. This man told me everything I ever did, she said. Could also be translated as, this man knew everything about me. She receives this living water, she drinks it. Jesus sees her. Jesus knows everything about her, and Jesus accepts her unconditionally and gives her grace. The vegan pizza and cold-pressed juice that Larea gave to the people on Skid Row is living water because she serves those things without an ounce of judgment and with pounds and pounds of compassion and grace. Tell me where I can get this living water, the people must ask as they see her and as they eat this healthy food prepared with so much love. About a week or two ago, I was having a meeting in Tallman Hall and a couple of people came by. They were a couple. They were homeless. Their possessions were in backpacks on their backs, and then over top the backpacks and their clothes, they were wearing big black garbage bags because it was raining. And the garbage bags must have kept everything at least somewhat dry. They came by to see if someone had turned in something they lost from pads the night before. And I looked around and didn't see it. And they asked if they could use the bathroom, and I said yes. And I offered to make them a cup of coffee they could take with them on the road. I'd stepped out of my meeting to attend to them, and after a few minutes, I started to get antsy and resentful. "They're taking such a long time," I was thinking, dawdling in the bathroom when I needed to get back to my meeting. And finally, they got out of the bathroom, and I watched them prepare their coffee. They must have put 15 sugar packets at least in their small cup of coffee. Of course, I realized, a bit of sugar to fill their bellies, which must have been grumbling. I don't know if they had alcohol addictions, but if they did, the sugar was a needed help for them in that situation too. Of course they were dawdling. Who wouldn't be dawdling when it was warm inside and cold and rainy outside? I wonder if that cup of really sugary coffee was, for them, living water. As I think about it, I'm ashamed for having judged them so harshly for being so slow. I don't know their stories. I don't know why they ended up without a home, forced to walk around with a garbage bag over their bodies. I do know that they're somebody's son and somebody's daughter. And I know that theirs is a story I don't know. And that's all I know. Friends, what binds us together is a common need for the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus who sees us and doesn't judge us. Jesus who knows everything about us and offers us living water. We all need this living water, all of us. Most, if not all of us sitting here have a roof over our heads most nights. Most, if not all of us don't wonder or worry where our next meal is going to come from. And as far as I know, none of us live on Skid Row. But we all share a need for living water. We all share the need for Jesus to hear us and see us and give us grace and compassion. So what is the living water that you need to drink today? Maybe like the woman on Skid Row who's waiting for her family, you need acceptance and love and a family. Maybe you're waiting for something very important to you. Or maybe like the woman at the well, you need Jesus to see you as you really are and to offer grace to you no matter what. Or maybe like the sojourners who stopped by our church for a chance to use the restroom and get a cup of coffee, you need rest. Maybe you need sustenance. You need warmth and repose. So whatever it is that you need this day, may you find it in Jesus who gives living water, Jesus who is always full of compassion and grace, Jesus who hears you and sees you and loves you just as you are. May you all experience that grace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.